The first verse of the song that we just sang says, "When peace like a river attendeth my way." Have you ever felt that peace like a river? When peace like a river attendeth my way. That's a beautiful expression, and Lord willing, we'll be looking at the subject of peace this morning. I think that too often God's people, when they hear the word peace, they think of no conflict. And certainly, the Word of God says that as much as lieth in us, we're to live peaceably with all men. The Word of God says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." And we should do everything we can to live at peace where there is no conflict. However, I want you to also know that you cannot be a Christian without there being conflict in this world. You cannot follow the footsteps of Jesus Christ. You cannot do what God has told us to do without there being conflict. If you're going to be at peace with all men, if you're not going to have any trouble with anyone, then you have to stop being a Christian first. And Jesus makes that very clear when he said, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I come not to bring peace, but a sword." Then he goes on and talks about how father be against son and husband against wife and all the different conflicts there in Matthew chapter 10. He says that when you begin to do what's right, there are going to be some people that will despise you for doing what's right. And that's the conflict that we often have. But the peace that's on my heart this morning is different than that first peace I've been talking about, which means a lack of conflict. The peace that's on my heart this morning is the peace that we can have that we just sang about, a peace in our heart and mind and soul, an inner peace. It's a tranquility, it's a calmness in our soul that only can come from God. The peace that's on my heart is a peace that God gives to His obedient children. And that peace is more important than anything else we can ever have in this world. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. You can't even describe how wonderful this peace is. To be able to lay down on your bed at night and to have peace of mind and peace in your soul. To be able to go about your daily activities and to feel that peace of God within you is a tremendous blessing that we need to realize, that we need to thank God for every day. We also need to know that the Word of God tells us, seek peace and pursue it. That is, this peace that is in us, the peace of God, is not something that just happens automatically. All of God's children do not have the peace of mind and peace in their heart and peace in their soul. There are things that God has taught us that in order to have this peace, in order to seek this peace, there are things that we have to do. Let's begin this morning, if you will, by looking in the Word of God at Psalm 119. I encourage you to look at the Word of God in Psalm 119. Of course, this is the longest psalm in the Bible, but there are a lot of wonderful teachings in this psalm, as well as all of God's Word. But there's one particular verse that's on my heart this morning in Psalm 119, Psalm 119 and verse 165. Psalm 119 and verse 165, the Word of God says, I want you to think about this, and I encourage you to memorize this verse and to think about it often. That God says in Psalm 119, verse 165, God says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Great peace, think about that expression in the first half of the verse when he says, "Great peace have they which love thy law. Now, brethren, sometimes we don't like the laws of God. And when we don't like the laws of God and we don't want to obey the laws of God and we don't want to follow God's word and God's way, we're going to sacrifice the subject that's on my heart. We're going to sacrifice the peace of mind and peace of soul when we start living contrary to God's word and God's way. Great peace. Now, the very way that's described, we know that there are different degrees of peace, don't we? Have you ever felt great peace? Have you ever felt just a little peace? Have you ever had peace that just kind of came and went? Have you ever had no peace? You know, the Bible talks about that quite a bit, that there are times in our lives, because of the way that we live, we lose peace. The peace is gone. We have no peace in our soul until we as the people of God, until we do what God's Word says here, great peace, not a little peace, not no peace, not a little peace, not peace coming and going, but you will have great peace if you love God's law. Love the Word of God. David, in the first psalm, he talked about how much he loved the law of God. Job and many other people talk about how valuable the laws of God are. One of the reasons that the Word of God and the laws of God are so important is that when we obey the Word of God and do what God tells us to do, we have great peace. Great peace. I can still remember that as a child, in high school especially, I remember the peace that I would have when I would do what Daddy told me to do. When he would say, "Now, you, when you come home from school today, you come home and you do your homework. You change your clothes first and you do your homework, and then you can go out and play." Now, if sometimes I came home from school and I played first, you know what I was always doing the whole time I was playing? I was watching. That's right. We lived on a dead end road, and I'd be out there playing, and I'd always be checking up that street to see if that little Volkswagen was on its way home. And if I saw that Volkswagen coming, I'd make a beeline to the house, get out of my clothes, get on my regular clothes, plop down at the desk, open a book, and be there studying. However, I don't ever remember doing that but what he had seen me first. And many times I would be out there playing in my school clothes and I would fall down and I'd get a grass stain on it. And so he knew, even if he didn't come home before I went in, he knew that I had been doing what I ought not to do. You can't have peace in your soul. You can't have great peace. You can't have, in fact, and the reason you can't is because this peace that I'm talking about is a peace that God gives you in your soul. God will not give you great peace in your soul unless you're trying to do what God tells you to do. Now, none of us are absolutely perfect, but we need to be trying to do what our Heavenly Father has taught us to do. We need to love the laws of God. We need to love the Word of God. And as long as we're trying to do what God tells us to do, and as long as we're growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when we're trying to serve the Lord, you know what you're going to have down in here? Peace. Peace. In fact, you're going to have something as you keep serving God. Instead of just peace, it'll be what? What's it called here?
Great
peace. I want you to know, brethren, there's a reason that God's Word talks about it as being great peace. It's something more wonderful. I know Brother Terry Smith, often when we're talking about great blessings that we have, did you know the one that talks more about the blessing of peace that I remember is Brother Terry Smith. Almost always he says, "I thank God for the peace I have in my soul. I thank God for the peace. It's more wonderful than anything else." Great peace. God says here, great peace. Not a little peace, not a wishy-washy peace, but peace that God gives. It's greater than anything else. Now, will the world give you some peace? Can you be at peace with the world? Can you be at peace with the world? Certainly you can be at peace with the world. It's the wrong kind of peace. Thank you, Sister Nellie. It's the wrong kind of peace. If you're at peace with the world, here's the way the Scripture says, Whosoever will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You want to be friends with everybody? You want to compromise with everything? You want to get along with everybody? Well, you're going to have to be an enemy of God. You will not have the peace of God if you're at peace with the world. We have to understand that in order to have this great peace that God gives, He only gives it to His obedient children. And when you're doing what's right, there will be conflict sometimes. Listen, brethren, by the grace of God, we can keep growing and working and laboring together. And all of us try to live closer to God. Isn't it wonderful that we can keep working and laboring? Aren't you glad? You know, I'm glad my daddy didn't disown me whenever he caught me doing things wrong. I'm glad he didn't just put me out of the house. I'm glad that my daddy's love for me was so strong that he loved me enough, however, that he never, ever let me get away with things that he knew I was doing wrong. He always, you know, tell me a scripture that goes along with that. If you transpose what I just said to our Heavenly Father, here's what God tells us. He says,
be sure.
Say it again.
Be sure your sins will find you out.
That's it. That's exactly what was on my heart. Be sure. And Daddy would quote that sometimes. He would say to me, just before he was with me, he'd say, son, you need to remember. You need to be absolutely sure. Even if I don't catch you, you need to understand. Be sure your sin will find you out. That's a frightening thing, but it's also, doesn't it have some checks and balances in our lives? Doesn't it have some corrective measure if I know that I have somebody enough who loves me enough that he's going to correct me, that he's going to do something? That, first of all, one of the things God will do is he'll just remove something from us. He'll just take that peace away. Have you ever lost that peace? What's the first song that we sang, the first verse? Of the last song we just sang? What's the first verse say? When peace like a river attendeth my way. That's great peace, isn't it? Peace like a river. Let's look at that scripture in Isaiah. Go forward in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 48. I want you to understand that songwriter, when he said, when peace like a river attendeth my way, it wasn't just something he came up with or he thought of and thought, this will be a good way to express about how great this peace is. In Isaiah chapter 48, look in your Bibles, please, at Isaiah chapter 48. Notice, please, verse 18. You know, if you've got this peace, I thought about this a lot this week. I thought about, one of the people I thought about was Sister Patterson out at Baptist Village. She's, unless I'm mistaken, I believe she's 104 years old. 104 or 105 years old, blind. But what do you think she has? She has. I want to go one above peace, Sister Nellie. I want to go above peace to what? Great peace, see? Great peace. And I know what you're talking about. Peace. The peace you're talking about is great peace. I thought about her, and Teresa and I talked about her after Thursday morning, how she just sits there blind. But I've never seen her do anything other than smile and be happy and talk about how good God is to her. And I thought about these dear saints from the nursing home that don't have their homes and they don't have their health and they don't have many things, but they're not thinking about what they don't have. They're thinking about what they do have, and they love God and are serving God, and they have, what do they have? Thank you, Sister Nellie. Great peace. They have great peace. It's a peace that passeth all understanding. It's a peace like a river. When peace like a river attendeth our way. You know where that peace comes from? It comes from only one source. It comes directly from God to you. Do you have to do something to have this great peace? Great peace have they which love thy law. Look now at Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 48. Look at Isaiah chapter 48. And verse 18, the Word of God says, this is God speaking to His people. He's speaking to the children of Israel who had rebelled against Him. Do you know why? You know why we don't have as much peace in our soul as we ought to have? Do you know why we have such national conflict today? It's because we don't love the laws of God. Our nation despises the laws of God. We cannot have inward peace, and we will only have war until we get back to being what we ought to be as a nation. In Isaiah 48, verse 18, God says to His people Israel, He says, "Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then..." If you had done what? If you had done what? Hearken to... Does that just mean hear? What does hearken mean in the Word of God? It means to hear and obey. "Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments." Oh, that you had heard them and obeyed them. He says, "Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. Then had thy peace been as a river and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea." What's he saying? You'd have had peace like a river, wouldn't you? Sometimes when I was a child, we used to sing that song, "I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. Got joy like a river." You know where that song and that thought, that expression, "I've got peace like a river," it comes from this verse of Scripture right here, where God is saying to His people, "Oh, if you had just hearkened to my commandments, if you had just listened to what I told you to do, will God give you great peace if you'll just do what God says?" Yes, He will. He'll give you great peace. Can you have great peace in your home? Not just in your soul now, but can your home have great peace? You know what it takes in order for your home to have great peace? It takes a family that's trying to love God and serve God and obey God. Because when a family tries to do what God tells them to do, God will fill that family with great peace. You know what will break down the walls and the barriers between husbands and wives? It's when the husbands are what God tells them ought to be, when they're what they ought to be, and when the wives are what they ought to be, and the children are what they ought to be, when children are honoring their parents, and husbands are loving their wives, even as Christ also loved the church, when they're obeying the commandments of God. God will give that family what? Great peace. Great peace. Why? Because they're loving, hearkening to the laws of God. Great peace have they which love thy laws. Now he says here, "Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river." It's amazing to me, and I don't know that I've ever seen this until this week in studying. But in verse 18 he says, your peace would have been like a river. But I want you to come down to verse 22 and watch this. In verse 22, same chapter, Isaiah chapter 48, verse 22, here's what God says. He says, there is... What are the next two words there? No peace. No, this is a little different. You don't have your Bible, and that's what you, because that's what I would have said. He says, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Now, isn't there a great big contrast here between the wicked? What do the wicked have? No peace. No peace. The wicked, God says, there is no peace for him. But the righteous, those who love the commandments of God, those who fear God and serve God, those that hearken to the commandments of God, there's great peace for the people of God. My question to you is this morning, do we as the people of God, do we have choices to make in our lives? Do I choose every day whether I obey the commandments of God? Am I a puppet on a string? Is God up there making me do everything that's right? When you do what's right, it's because you take the grace God's given you and you overcome the temptations and you serve God and do what He says. If you love the commandments of God, you will have great peace. And it's just as sure as heaven is happy that if you don't obey the commandments of God, if you trample the Word of God under your feet, if there are things that you're doing that are wrong, you know that they're wrong and you persist in doing them, instead of great peace, you'll have what?
No peace.
No peace. N-O. None. No peace. Have you ever been there where you had no peace? You ever been up all night long in turmoil Has your conscience ever bothered you because you had done something wrong and you just could not sleep? You had no peace whatsoever. Well, that's a good thing and a bad thing. It's a good thing because the only people that feel that conscience and feel that turmoil in their soul is a child of God, that the Spirit of God is convicting them that what they're doing and have done is wrong. And you lose that peace. And you begin to cry and repent and say, God, forgive me. Have mercy on me. I beg you in the name of Christ. I beg you, Lord, forgive me. And I beg you to help me not to go back down that same road again. Isn't it wonderful that God does forgive? 1 John chapter 1 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what happens when you know you're a sinner and yet you confess your sin and God comes and cleanses you of that? You know how you feel inside? You feel clean. But what else do you have when you feel clean in your soul? You have great peace. Great peace. Starting all over. I periodically, about every 3 weeks, I get my suit cleaned. You know why? Well, and doesn't it feel good when you... A lot of times when Teresa and I get in the bed at night when she's just changed the sheets, you know what? Almost a lot of times, you know what we'll say? Isn't it wonderful to have good, clean sheets? Isn't it wonderful to be able to take a shower and get cleaned up after a long day of work? Isn't it wonderful to be clean? Don't you rejoice that you can be clean physically? But brethren, how much more wonderful it is to be clean right on down to your soul. If all you do is clean up the outside, the only thing that people see is just the outside. And they say, well, he sure looks clean. He looks pure. He looks righteous. But down inside, if your heart's not right with God, brethren, you're like what Jesus described to the Pharisees in Matthew 23. And he said, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, because you appear unto men to look clean, but you're nothing but whited sepulchres. Outwardly you appear clean, but inside, what? Full of dead men's bones. You think that man's got peace that's like that? No peace. No peace. Wicked. There is no peace for the wicked, saith the Lord, but there is great peace for those who love and keep and hearken unto the commandments of God. No matter where you are right now, isn't it wonderful you can start over today? Isn't it good that you can start over and you can, by the grace of God, that you can overcome temptations and you can begin to love the commandments of God, read the Word of God, walk in God's way, and when you walk in God's way and you serve God, you're going to have great peace instead of no peace. And brethren, it doesn't matter what happens to our country. It doesn't matter what happens to you financially, it doesn't matter what happens to your physical body. It doesn't matter if you have boils from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. If God is with you, you can have what?
Great peace.
There are people that are dying today. There are people on beds of affliction that their bodies are racked with pain. But in spite of all that problem and trouble that they have, you know what they have in their soul? Great peace. Great peace. Do you know why? Is there a reason? Is it just because they're a child of God that they have great peace? Do all children of God have great peace? No. What kind of child of God has great peace? Say it again. A good child. That's right. A good child. I like that. It's a good child. That's a good child. I hadn't heard that in a long time, Sister Nellie, but I remember now that's what my granddaddy used to say. You be a good child. Be a good boy. Good child. God is so good to us. He loves us so much that He teaches us in His Word. He tells us now, here's what the laws are. Here's what the commandments are. If you'll just keep my commandments and do what I'm telling you, you'll just hearken to my commandments, you'll have great peace. But he also says, now if you don't, you're going to have no peace. You will have no peace. How are you sleeping at night? How you feel during the day? You worried? You worried about the economy? Are you worried about the financial condition of our nation? Now, if you're worried about your own personal financial condition because you've overspent, you've got a reason to be concerned because you haven't obeyed the commandments of God if you spent more than what you had coming in. Does everybody understand that? You've asked for trouble. If you are buying things that you don't have money to pay for them, you're asking for the trouble, and you will have no peace because you broke the laws of God. If you've broken those financial laws of God, you need to fall on your knees, beg God to forgive you. You need to start over and get the problem fixed. That doesn't mean declare bankruptcy. It's one by one. You go to your creditors, you get it paid off, and you make a commitment. You're not going to make that mistake again. Don't be buying things you don't have the money to pay for it. You cannot have peace because you're breaking the laws of God. It's not just that you're breaking some financial ideas. You don't buy things you don't have the money to pay for. Go with me in closing to Philippians chapter 4. Please look in your Bibles at Philippians chapter 4. Everybody, please turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. I want you to listen, please, to verses 6. Well, we're going to start in verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. The Word of God says, be careful for nothing. That means don't worry about anything. Well, that's easier said than done, isn't it? Don't worry about anything? You're telling me don't worry about anything? You know what everybody says when they've got big problems and I say don't worry about it? Everybody says the same thing. You know what I say when I've got big problems and somebody tells me don't worry about it? Say? That's easy for you to say. That's right. That's easy for you to say. Well, this is what God says. God says, be careful for nothing. Stop worrying. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. If you do that, he says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Now, how big is that? How big is that? Give me two words to say it. Great peace. Give me a water expression to describe it. Peace like a river. It's peace that passeth all understanding. If you'll just do what he says, you'll have the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. It shall keep your hearts and what? Minds. You know where most of my problems are? Between my ears. Right there in my mind. You know what we studied last Sunday? We're to bring into captivity every thought. Do you remember? Bring into captivity every thought. Great peace have they which love thy law. No peace are those that walk contrary to God's law. Then what's he tell you to think about in verse 8? I'm not going to read it, you all know. Verse 9. Listen to verse 9. He says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard of me, and heard and seen in me, do. What's he say? Do the right thing. Keep the commandments of God. And what? And now listen. This doesn't say the peace of God, does it? What did he say in verse 7? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding. You'll have that. But now he says, if you'll just do what I'm telling you to do, the God of peace shall be with you. Now, isn't that wonderful? You're going to have the peace of God, that's great peace, peace like a river. But the God of peace, God Himself, will come and dwell with you if you'll just do what God tells you to do. May God help us, brethren, as His people, to realize what a wonderful blessing it is. I look forward to eternal heaven when I die. I do. You know what we're going to have up there? Tell me what we're going to have up there. Great peace. Not only are we going to have that great inward peace, we're going to have no conflict up there. No more war, no more trouble, no more Satan, no more sin. But I'm glad that right now, while we live here in this world, we can have Great peace. May God help us to live in such a way and love His law so that we can have great peace, is my prayer for Christ's sake.